You can always tweet us at 99.3 ESPN Radio. We might even tweet you back. This is Schemann and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Schemann and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app on a hump day Wednesday of a shortened week. I am Craig Schemann along with Pete Shepard. Rick Church on the other side of the glass spinning the cool tunes. I think that really gets under Chris's skin a little bit when I
oh yeah
promote Rick Church's musical ability. Chris has been better lately, no
he's
doubt
a lot
about
better.
It.
He's been better.
I think we've coached him up a little bit, but Rick Church needs no coaching up. He is just solid. So nicely done. All right. No phones. Text number 239-337 ESPN 239-337-3776.
Any update? No.
No update. Anybody stick their head in there, Rick, this hour?
Rick,
hour
nothing.
Number two? I mean, they're actually physically working on it.
They're working on it. That is.
What does that mean exactly?
Who's
doing what? Is somebody, like, taking equipment to some sort of phone box or something? I don't know what that means.
And, you know, it's difficult because, of course, Richard, like a lot of people here, have been taken to wearing a mask, or, you know, when walking the hallways. And so you can't even really read his face. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's kind of made it a little more difficult.
Well, see, to me,
but they're working on it.
To me,
that's
and Pete, working on it means somebody's head needs to be below your console. They're working on wires and stuff, and where the phones all that to me is working on it. I don't see any company with you inside this little studio there. So I don't know what's going on.
I don't know where the base from. It's probably I don't know. I wash my hands of the whole thing. I apologize for the listeners. That's all.
Yes.
But we'll get through it. I mean, we're still going
to
do a great show.
No, to the listeners, not for the listeners.
No, I apologize to the listeners. Yes, to the listeners.
Bottom of this hour, Keith Smith is going to join us from Yahoo. We do have one working phone line, by the way, so we will have a conversation. It's the hotline.
The day is young.
Yeah, the day is young. So we'll have that at the bottom. Next hour, there's supposed to be a rocket launch here in Florida. I'm very excited about that. We'll see.
In fact, the president's going to be there.
Yeah. Although it looks like some inclement weather going around, blowing in that direction. So it's gonna be close. I heard they had a 60% chance of launch. They got to make sure things are calm out there in the Atlantic Ocean in case they got to abort the mission halfway up. You know what I'm saying? They got to go
yes,
be able to
exactly.
find those guys, pull them out of the water. All right.
So,
there is a crazy story I want to get to here involving Arizona State. Now, Pete, if I told you or our listeners that Bobby...
I haven't seen this. I'll be honest with you.
This is crazy. I saw one crawl earlier today, but I saw it on the internet. So Bobby Hurley. Mm-hmm. If I would have told you that Bobby Hurley and his athletic director are at odds involving sexual harassment, your mind would naturally go, I think we're trained to go, well, oh, did Bobby Hurley do something inappropriate and his job in jeopardy? No, quite the contrary. It's much different than that. He's pissed at his AD, Ray Anderson, over his handling of sexual harassment allegations involving a humongous booster at Arizona State who has been doing inappropriate things and saying things, apparently, to, of all people, Leslie Hurley, Bobby's wife, and two other women, including the associate AD David Cohen, who has since been fired because he brought up his displeasure with how things have been handled. So the wives are getting harassed by a booster who's paying, you know, tons of money to the university. And Bobby Hurley has written a very tersely, you know, Bobby Hurley, let's face it, he's kind of a tough-nosed, hard ass. I mean, that was his reputation as a player.
It was
as a coach, and he's not putting up with this nonsense and shenanigans going on at Arizona State. And he ripped his athletic director, Ray Anderson, a new one publicly.
Yep. And I'm wondering if this booster, and we all know what's going on, and this happens all the time, is this booster connected to a shoe company, which in turn is connected to getting some of the top rated players to go to Arizona State? I mean, but that certainly doesn't give you the right to do and disrespect any woman, let alone the coach's wife. But unbelievable.
And the AD promised Bobby Hurley that this guy would not be around the basketball program anymore. And then Hurley looks over last year and sees him in the stands. And because he's a booster. And so what a mess this is. Rarely do you see a coach calling out his boss on anything. But this ain't going to end well. And David Cohen, the associate AD that got fired, he is sued for unlawful termination for $1.5 million because all he did was complain that his wife was getting hit on. I mean, this is ugly. Very ugly. So, yeah, you know, absolutely. Keep an eye out for this story.
No question about it. And this goes back to that documentary I talked about a couple months ago that was on HBO. And, yeah, and this is a – and if this booster is a powerful man, which he probably is, like I said, connected, getting – and you may not think Arizona State is – but to get even 3-4-star recruits there and maybe a 5 every once in a while, that is a gigantic thing. They don't just automatically pick Arizona State in these situations. It's not just, I mean, there's some influence usually. It's not just Bobby Hurley being a great recruiter or whatever. It sounds to me that this could get extremely ugly because someone's going to rat out somebody.
Yeah.
And if this booster gets thrown out of out of Tempe, then they're going to have I guarantee you, what you watch what happens.
Yeah.
Oh, I paid for this player. This shoe company got that player. Yeah. I guarantee you, this has potential. Again, more FBI allegations. Get ready because the NCAA can't handle it. So,
well, keep
don't
in mind,
be shocked.
Arizona's already in trouble. So now this Arizona State, if this blows up, yeah. I mean, it's going to be unbelievable.
Yep.
All right. You piqued my curiosity going into the top of the hour break. You had some Debbie Downer news regarding my Detroit. I mean, how could it get more Debbie Downer for the Detroit Lions? And well, I know our audience is probably sick of me talking about this, but the audience knows me. They know that's my team. That's where I'm from. So yes. Hit me. Go ahead.
It appears we know. We all think the NFL season is going to start on time for now, but that doesn't mean the whole season will proceed on schedule. Lions team doctor Ashish Bedi warns that if the NFL in particular and society as a whole, because we're living in one, can't do the work necessary to keep the virus from spreading, a second wave could hit in the fall that would cause the NFL to shut down. Now that, she says, in the fall, it's really going to be about continuing those safe measures that might have us avoid seeing a second wave becoming a major or even more devastating second peak. She told that to the Detroit Free Press. If that were to happen, and despite all the safeguards that we have in place, I think that gets back to the need to be able to pivot quickly. I think we need to quickly recognize that our priority will always be safety, and if that means that we have to change our workflow, abridge seasons, modify how we're working through things, then that just has to happen. Now, I think every team doctor is going to basically say the same thing. There's nothing new there, but there's a big difference between one person getting it and then, 15 guys on the same team. I think it's going to be a big difference. However, it'll be a mess if somebody will get it. I'm sure they're all planning for this. Somebody is going to probably get it between now and when the NFL season begins. We'd be foolish to think otherwise.
Right.
It's just a game of percentages. But so maybe Debbie Downer. So, I mean, I she's probably speaking for every single team doctor in the NFL. That would have to probably say stuff like that.
Well, also keep in mind, she's based in Michigan, where all they get is doom and gloom and shutdown mode. Dr. Yeah. Fauci did a 180 yesterday. Now he doesn't think we're going to have a second wave. The American people have been done a huge disservice with all this, whether it be the media's fault, the left, the right, whatever you want. Not a single chart has been right. Not a single prediction has been right. And nobody knows what to believe anymore. And so now we're all walking around. You can see it when you go out in public. And you're wearing masks and you're doing it. You can see fear in people's eyes. Don't get too
sometimes,
close to
me. I was out today, did a couple errands. I was at the post office today, actually, for about 15 minutes. And half the people, it was very done in Bonita, very professional. Everybody was great. The workers were wearing masks. And I'd say three quarters of the people there also were about 30 years older than me. So,
yeah.
I didn't wear one. I said I've worn one once, and that was getting my hair cut, and that's fine.
Yeah. I find it difficult to breathe when I wear one.
Yeah.
It's just all that hot air just blowing back in your face and your eyes, or if it seeps. I don't like it. I don't like wearing it. People that do wear it, fine. But I have tried to from time to time, and I still will from time to time, especially if I go to an establishment that requires it. I'll abide. I'm not a rule breaker. I just don't like wearing it, though. I guess nobody does.
And some of the restaurants I've been to, most of the bartenders / servers, a lot of them wearing masks. Some of them don't have to. Whatever.
Yeah.
And me personally, if I'm out and about, do I care if they're wearing a mask? Am I a bad person for saying I don't care?
Right.
Whatever.
Right.
I've had it. I mean, I really have. And look, thank God this state is a lot more progressive than most of 99% of the country. Thank God for that. And I think everybody out is having a good time. Now, I don't know about, the Ozark orgy they had out there or what happened in Alabama, a clothed orgy, if there's such a thing. And some of the reaction in Alabama where, you know, but what, that's a little over the top, and I'm surprised that they allowed it to happen. However, I think we're seeing more and more, not in New York State, because I understand it, it's much different up there, but around the country, it's going to, people are just going to ignore it. And you know what? There's not enough jail cells to put in half the population of this country, because there's not enough police enforcement available for the minor stuff. You know, you're going to start telling people don't sit next to each other on the beach. You're going to start telling people this, that, and the other thing when they're out to dinner. I'm just telling you, people are ignoring it. They're going to ignore it, and they've had it. They're going to take their chances.
I think
start arresting people, and they can't. We've seen people. We've seen policemen in New Jersey. The guy opened a gym, direct violation. You know what the cops said? They went there.
Yeah.
They said, look, we're not going to shut you down. Just please be safe. Now technically, they should have shut the place down, should have arrested people, more than likely, if they refused to shut it down.
Yes.
That's what the governor ordered. But they didn't.
Well, now, I will tell you this, and more and more stats keep coming forth. So the average flu fatality rate is 0.013. They're now, when you start adding all the people who have tested positive and have not died, the fatality rate for coronavirus is now 0.026. Just slightly, is just double what the flu is, but it's still well under a third of 1%. And, you know, to think that we shut down the country for a number that's not much bigger than the flu is what, you're right. Next time, if there's a second wave or, heaven forbid, the next pandemic, the government can put forward all these rules. I don't think America's going to follow through. I think they say, bleep this. We're going on with our lives. That's what I think is going to happen.
Well, it's, I think, like, it's happening, it's
like,
now.
Well, it's like hurricane prep fatigue. You know, you get enough close calls and enough adrenaline going, and they keep missing you. People don't take them as seriously. It happens every year. And that's going to happen with this, too. People are going to have pandemic fatigue, and they're going to say, we're not shutting down anymore, and we're not listening to the rules.
And the thing has been so overly politicized, I can't stand it, because I like that. I really hate politics. I hate them all on the whole. I've been that way for most of my life. I mean, I vote, but it's always, to me, with very few exceptions. And I'm not talking about local elections, but national elections. Yeah. To me, it's always been the lesser of two evils. Mm-hmm. Because I go through in my entire life of who was president, Democrat or Republican, has it really affected my life to a, in one way, shape, or form or the other? At times, I guess, here and there, financially, not really. Mm-hmm. And I'm not no millionaire. I'm not a millionaire or anything like that. I don't have, I'm not a, you know, houses all over the place like you do. And the, but you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to think back. I mean, there's certain presidents I like more than others. But if I go back from when the time I was 18, which was 1985 until now, can I honestly say, I mean, when you're 18, say to 25, did he really care who's president? You don't care. I mean, you care, but is it really affecting you when you're just starting out working? I mean, is it, you know, you're lucky to have a job. You're just happy to get your foot in the door. You're not really looking at politics and how it's affecting your salary, even though it probably did here and there. I just look at it as a lesser of two evils. I'm trying to think back, you know, when has a president really affected my job where I didn't have to work for what I had to do? Or because this person was president, I didn't get this salary, or that person was president, I got that. It hasn't happened.
I first time I got, you know, radio, you get hired to get fired. I always tell this as a joke, but I got fired from a job on a day that my company that I work for, it was iHeartMedia, it was Clear Channel at the time. 2,000 people got fired that day in a cost cutting deal. Mm-hmm. And it happened to be the day that Obama took office. It was inauguration day.
Yeah.
And I literally got whacked when his hand was on the Bible for the swearing. And so I would always joke that I'm not real impressed with the new president's new unemployment numbers. And half the people would think that was funny. And half the people would get pissed. Mm-hmm. You have anything to do with that? Yeah. I know, people. Just everybody relax. But I did care. I always have cared who's president, even since I was a little kid. I won't tell you.
I care. Don't
this
get me wrong.
This is another
care.
Funny story.
Yeah.
When I was small and couldn't stay up late at night to see the results, I remember my mom told me who won and who lost the president. Because the first thing, when she woke me up for school, first thing I said is, well, who won the election? And she told me, and I started to weep because the other guy won. But I won't get into who or what. But, yeah, it was I've cared. Even when I was small.
I remember being, this is a funny, I don't know why I remember this, I just do. I'm 9 years old. It's 1976. It's after, you know, Nixon and all that stuff, and President Ford is the president. He's running against Jimmy Carter. Now, Carter ends up winning. I remember being on the bus ride on the way home. Now, it's just a bunch of 9, 10, and 11-year-olds, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And somebody started a whole chant, yay for Carter, boo for Ford. And I'm like, here's a bunch of 9 to 11-year-olds.
Yeah.
And I didn't partake in it.
Yeah.
And I just going, who cares? You know, I'm pissed. I got math homework tonight in fourth grade.
You're like, wait a minute. Who did the Celtics got a big game tonight. What do you guys, who cares about?
I know. It's 1970. It was 1976. They were. They won the championship that year.
Yeah, right. That's exactly.
You know, Tommy Heinsohn was coaching. I was very much into it then. The very few games that were on TV back then. But, yeah. So I'll never forget that. I'm like, what are all these middle school kids chanting, yay for Carter, boo for Ford. I'm like, you don't know your butts from your elbow as far as either one, what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Exactly. I also wanted to just switch gears just a little bit. I wanted to clear up something because I think, I don't know if we gave away some wrong information yesterday. It might have been Chris's fault. Oklahoma. You remember we were talking about schools coming back on June 1st, and I think we threw Oklahoma in that bunch, and I said, how can that be? Lincoln Riley was the one saying, no, we're not bringing our kids back too safe. I think that was wrong. I think that was July 1st, because that's I read today Oklahoma is going to wait until July 1st to come back. Lincoln Riley says, we are going to come back slow and easy. We're not rushing this thing.
Yeah.
So if we gave out something wrong, Oklahoma is not going while other schools are coming back July June 1st and June 15th, and then we know that even the Pac-12 announced that they will have in-person workouts June 15th as well. Again, I don't know how this applies to the California schools, but
well,
that's the plan.
Lincoln Riley says that now, but he has the right to change his mind. Let's see. There's a long, you know, we've got a few weeks between now and July 1st.
You do,
we'll
but at the same point, you can't just put out an email, hey, kids, show up tomorrow, you know, and it is almost June 1st. Look, I think he's looking at it differently. He's just going to – and I don't think Oklahoma's been incredibly hit hard with coronavirus. I could be wrong. But he'll probably turn this around into some sort of recruiting advantage. Look, I care about the kids, and we took our time coming back during coronavirus. But he's also going to be a month behind schedule on some other teams getting back too. So,
I think the biggest part about college football, and I don't anticipate a lot, although I'll tell you something else that happened today. Hang on. Let me read you this. This is from Arkansas AD Hunter Yurachek talks today. Again, the SEC has approved the return of athletes, as you said, to campuses across the conference on June 8th, and most schools have decided to have athletes come back on that date. So Arkansas AD Hunter Yurachek spoke today, said optimism, expressed optimism. Our number one priority right now and what we're preparing for is to have full capacity in each of our athletic venues this fall. We also have preparations in the background if we have to limit capacity. We have sold 31,000 season tickets. We have stopped selling single game tickets. He says, and as for playing all 12 games this fall, including a home game against Nevada and a trip to Notre Dame, Yurachek said, Nevada planning to be here and we're planning to be at Notre Dame. We're still planning to have those games. But he's approaching with cautious optimism.
Yeah.
But I like that, you know.
Well, good for Notre Dame. They have at least two games on their schedule now, Nevada and Navy. Because
well, they got six ACC games. They got six ACC games, too.
Yeah.
Which could end up helping them.
Yes. Yeah. All right.
We'll find.
But again, I still don't think that game's played at Dublin, though. That's one against Navy. They got to bring that back.
Still hasn't been canceled yet, officially.
I know. You're right about that. All right, coming up in a few minutes, we're going to have a guest. We do have one phone line working. Keith Smith will join us from Yahoo Sports. We'll talk about the NBA and what his thoughts are about their plans moving forward and whether they're going to have an announcement. You know, one thing is Adam Silver basically at the end of April says, look, we don't have to make any decisions in the month of May and any announcements. And so I don't even think we're going to even hear from the NBA till next week, June 1st. But they do need to make an announcement pretty soon following the heels of what the NHL did. Anyway, we'll get the thoughts of Keith Smith from Yahoo Sports on that in just a couple of moments.
Facebook has turned into a platform where anyone can spew nonsense. Sounds like these guys. Like our Facebook page, 99.3 ESPN Radio. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Well, we have a better idea what the NHL is going to do as they try to come back amid coronavirus. Next up, I think, the NBA. Keith Smith from Yahoo Sports joins us right now to talk about this. Keith, welcome. How you been?
Keith, how you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. Thank you for having me.
You bet. What's your life what's been like first, professionally with coronavirus going on, and you have no NBA to write about?
it's been a little bit of a different time for me, where we're trying to find enough interesting articles. We pulled some of our off-season stuff forward and are doing that. But lately, over the last couple of weeks, I've had my hands full with the idea of the NBA returning at Walt Disney World here in Florida.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask you, we'll get into it in a second, but when Disney World reopens, Keith, what's the first ride you're going on? I mean, just for old time's sake.
Man, my favorite ride there is the Haunted Mansion. You can't go wrong with the Haunted Mansion. And I'm a little older now. I'm done with the roller coasters and that. Give me a ride where I can sit down in the air conditioning for a good 15, 20 minutes, and I'm golden.
We actually did about 20 minutes on this topic. This is what we do during coronavirus. Yeah. I love that because of the reasons you just mentioned. The air condition, it's dark, you can sit down. Now, Pete is a curmudgeon. He hates It's a Small World. As a parent, I also love that for the same reasons. It was a chance to sit down on a nice, cool boat ride. He hates it. What say you? And he hates the music, too.
Yeah, you just got to kind of be able to close your eyes and tune out the music. If you can pull that off, you're pretty good.
See? Hey, but like you said, we had so many great tweets over the last few weeks, and I know you're making the radio rounds today, so you're becoming Woj-esque, you know? I know you used to work with him back then, and now he's at ESPN, but you're doing a great job, Keith. So as you tweeted out earlier, the ESPN Wild World Sports Complex, pretty isolated from the rest of the property, no one getting in there, and that shouldn't be, and no one will just stumble upon the area, try to pass off they wanted to ride Space Mountain or anything like that. But how does this all, you said the reopening of the Magic Kingdom and then other parts of Disney World really don't have anything to do with the NBA, correct?
Yeah, it's going to have very little to do with the NBA, possibly almost nothing. The Walt Disney World property is so big that the NBA areas are going to be pretty far away from anything going on in the theme parks. And Disney will be able to get those parks open for paying guests and get those people there to enjoy their vacation time. And then the NBA will do their thing. I kind of liken it to a lot of people come here on vacation. They don't even know that the sports complex exists, never mind having been to it or anything like that. So really, this is no different to that. It's kind of isolated at the extreme south end of the property. It's got about probably a quarter mile drive down into it from the roadway before you're anywhere close to anything. And they're going to have that thing locked down with Disney security as well as the different county sheriffs and the like to make sure the NBA is well taken care of and protected.
So how do you think that this bubble will work? I mean, they're not going to be locked down in their hotels 22 hours a day and then go play games. How much freedom will they have, the players? Will they be able to roam around the various shops and restaurants and even theme parks? Or are they going to be locked down to like a 2-square-foot-mile area? How does this look in your mind, do you think?
Yeah, I think they're going to do their best to encourage them to stay at whatever resort that they're housing the league at. I think that is the goal. It sounds like, in just doing a little bit of detective work, that could be the Coronado Springs Resort. It's the only resort that's been unavailable to be booked by the public for the entirety of the month of July. So it's starting to look like that. That's Disney's primary convention resort. Mm-hmm. They've got this beautiful tower that they just opened within the last year that really built to attract high-end convention business. All the rest of the resort was remade, and it's really kind of its own little world there. And it's got 220 square feet of convention space as well, which is very important because you can set that up for meeting rooms, film rooms, media rooms if necessary, and then maybe even treatment and workout rooms if you need those right on that property. I think they're going to encourage the players to stay there. In talking to a lot of the players, they're starting to approach this thing as this is a business trip for most of these teams. They're coming there with the idea of let's go get a title, let's go win a championship. And they're not going to do anything that can, sacrifice that or hurt them in that quest.
Keith, the NBA Board of Governors is expected to meet with Adam Silver on Friday. And now with Gary Bettman, commissioner of the NHL, came up with his plan yesterday, which I think is a good one. And I don't know what the expectations are going to be on Friday, but do you think because of what the NHL did yesterday, any added pressure on the NBA to get things done?
It's a great question. I think there is a little bit. I don't think the NBA is going to completely fold to we've got to get this done and start on X time because of the NHL coming back. But I do think they're going to be conscious of that. This is a chance to really grab a lot of sports fans, especially on a nightly basis when there's just not a lot going on and people are really dying for competition where we don't already know the end result. I mean, I know in my own family, we're watching the heck out of the mini golf thing because it's the only thing on TV that we don't already know what happened. So we're into that. But I think they're going to be, cautious here. It sounded like the idea is to arrive in Florida sometime in early July, get things really ramped up by mid-July, and then start games somewhere in the mid-July to end of July time frame and really get things moving in that direction at that point.
So we're going to have NBA games every day. I've heard even a report that they might start games early on, like at noon, and just go all day and then resemble into something more familiar for the playoffs. You'll have the NHL doing something similar. This is a death blow for baseball. They're sitting here messing around. If they don't get going, I mean, this is really bad news for them. How do you see it when you compare how each of the different sports are handling this?
Yeah, I'm a huge baseball fan. I don't profess to have any knowledge beyond loving the game of baseball still. But what my worry is, every report that comes out for the other league, they're getting closer to coming back, and everything that comes out with Major League Baseball looks like they're further away. And I don't understand the idea of, all right, you got to take this kind of pay cut, but then we're going to take another cut on top of it. Oh, and hey, let's slide in a salary cap while we're at it just to, do this. I kind of look at it as it akin to, hey, we're going to fix all the roads in the community, but in order to do that, we also need to allow you to eat an endangered species once a week. These things aren't related. Why do they get added in on top? And, I would think baseball would be pushing to just get back and get this season started and going, but it seems like they're starting to move in the wrong direction, and that has me worried as a baseball fan.
Yeah.
Keith, yesterday Damian Lillard came out for the Trailblazers, even though they're two and a half behind in the ninth spot, says he will not compete and he restarted an NBA if Portland does not have a legitimate shot to make the playoffs. Now, look, I mean, within 2.5 games, you have a legitimate shot, especially if they're going to do this expanded type, Mark Cuban type of expansion that heard him yesterday talk about. But how many other players do you think feel like Damian Lillard does, Keith, and how big an impact could their feelings have on coming back?
Sure, there's a little bit of that going around. You do hear some of that with the different players. One of the things that you're hearing is, from some folks is, give him a few days, let's see what he feels like in a couple of days. And I think they're using the example of, we all heard LeBron James say, there's no fans in the arena, I'm not playing. And then he walked that back within a day or two. I think it's just, sometimes you catch these guys in the heat of the moment and they feel a certain way and you don't really blame them. Now, I will say too, if there's really nothing to play for, which, the Trailblazers, I don't think if they're brought back, they're not going to be in that situation. But for example, the Golden State Warriors, there's a lot of talk of, well, I'm not going to play Stephen Curry because they don't want to risk any kind of injury. Well, I flip that to, in a normal season, late March, early April, the superstars on bad teams aren't playing anyway for those reasons. They're kind of playing off the string, and that's where the guys have back spasms or far different connotations usually, but they've got flu-like symptoms and they miss a game. And I think that's what you're going to kind of see here is those teams kind of play it out if they're involved, and then anybody else who's there with serious chances at getting into this playoff round, they're going to be there and they're going to take part.
Talking with Keith Smith from Yahoo Sports about the possibility of the NBA coming back and what that would look like. Just want to follow up on what Pete just mentioned. Mark Cuban mentioned all kinds of different scenarios. Maybe the bottom feeders would have these one-game play-ins to try and get into the playoffs. I know the NHL is going to have their 24-team deal. What do you think is the best scenario or the best playoff format for the NBA?
Yeah, I waffle back and forth between just bring the 16 teams that are currently in the playoffs. I think there's a big enough spread that you can say, hey, over 60, almost 70 games, we proved, that these teams are the best teams, and you can feel okay about that. to allowing those teams, really, they're all in the Western Conference, there's four of them, to have a legitimate shot at getting in. I go back and forth on those. I don't like the idea of giving everybody an equal shot. There's no reason the Knicks or the Warriors should have any kind of shot
at getting
to the playoffs, right? So those teams are absolutely terrible. So I look at it as, you know, hey, get in there. I also don't want anything to be too unfair to those good teams. That's why I kind of don't really like the World Cup format of the group stage and the like. I think some of those teams, you know, they really have fought to earn their seeding in their respective conference, and anything you're doing starts to take away from that. So I've gone back and forth, but I can tell you within the league, it's the same way. You talk to 10 different people, and you're getting 10 different variations of a plan. It might be, well, I like the Mark Cuban plan, but with these four tweaks, or I like this, but let's do this instead. There's very little consensus right now from the owners to the coaches to the front offices to the players. Everybody's got kind of different ideas, and that's a lot of what the NBA is working through at this point.
Keith, I know the NBA, they're working on multi-phase medical and safety protocols and all that stuff. What happens if a guy like LeBron James, after all is said and done, and say best case scenario, and things are moving along, he gets to Disney World and's like, I don't like it. I don't feel safe. Or maybe not
just him.
What if others feel that way? That they just don't like the whole setup.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I haven't heard that one as far as not feeling it. I think they've already done the talking on that side. Adam Silver was very clear with the board of governors and then with the players if there's any concerns on why we shouldn't do this. And they give a lot of weight in the NBA, especially Adam Silver, to the star players, and we need to not do this. And everybody was pretty united. Now, of course, things could change. The bigger concern is, what if somebody gets sick? What if two guys get sick? What if an entire team gets sick? Then what do you do? If it's one or two players, the NBA's been pretty clear of, you got to treat it like it's an injury, and we got to move forward. We cannot shut down again for one or two guys. And that was very made clear from kind of the beginning. If that's what we're going to do, then let's not do that. If it's an entire team, that's going to be a really interesting one. And I don't know exactly how they'll handle that. I think that's, you know, item number whatever on the list now, that those are just things that they are working through these details to try and figure out.
Do you think they might have to forfeit games? And I'm talking, the NHL would probably be in the same boat as well. Would they have to possibly forfeit games if things didn't go great for one particular team?
Yeah, I kind of think that's the way you're going to have to do it. And, you know, then if it starts to really spread, then I think you're looking at, all right, we got to shut this thing down. It just didn't go the way we hoped. But I think their belief, I know their belief is, we can get the guys to the single site healthy. We can test them initially, and then we do daily testing all the way through this. We believe that we can keep this under control and keep these guys good. And that's why I think when you go back to the question about the bubble or the campus or whatever you want to say, I think that's where the players have a big responsibility in this, of kind of saying, hey, it's on us too. We can't be, you know, running around and getting in trouble here. We got here healthy. Let's all stay here healthy.
Keith Smith from Yahoo Sports with us. Let me take you on a sidebar, if you will, involving basketball. A story that's come up the last couple of days. Well, I'm sure you watched The Last Dance with Michael Jordan. He says he had nothing to do with Isaiah Thomas, not on the Dream Team. Then this audio comes out that we all hear this week where he's saying, yeah, I didn't want Isaiah on the team, and neither did Chuck. We did now find, I heard Charles Barkley in an interview last night said, no, he wasn't referring to me. He was referring to Chuck Daly. Anyway, it's fascinating. What do you think about all this as it's coming out?
Yeah, that's the era that I grew up on. I grew up as a kid in Massachusetts and was, you know, following the NBA all along. I grew up on the 80s Celtics and right into the Jordan era, and I've stayed with basketball all along. So a lot of things that came out of The Last Dance weren't new. And I remember reading Jack McCallum's book about the Dream Team and a couple other books that were written even closer to when that experience happened. And it was pretty clear in those books that Michael Jordan said, hey, if Isaiah Thomas plays, I'm not playing. There's been bad blood there for years and years, going back all the way to when there was the alleged freeze-out in the All-Star game and those kind of things. Jordan just has never been a fan of him, and I think it was a little disingenuous to say, that wasn't a thing. And then, you know, when clear, I think we all knew it very much was a thing. And now that there's audio that's come out, it seems like there's a little bit of backtracking of, this guy didn't want to play with him too. And we'll see, you know, to where it all goes. I think in some respects, I don't think Michael Jordan really cares too much. I think I'm Michael Jordan, and, you know, this is where it's at. I just don't know why he didn't, you know, completely own up to it in the documentary itself.
Yeah. Yeah, final question for me, because I know you get another 10,000 radio shows to do today. is that best case scenario, we get through this NBA playoff season, whatever it is. When would final day do you think it ends? When does next season begin? December?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what we're looking at. I think we're looking at this season end sometime September-ish. There had been for a long time kind of an unofficial stop date of Labor Day, but that seems to be the NBA has kind of said, yeah, that's not really possible. I think we're just too far along for that to be a real thing. But I know what the folks in the league told me is we're hopeful that, you know, if we're going up against the football season, it's really our NBA finals time, and we can, you know, make sure those games are on the weeknight when there's no football to go against. It's the NBA finals. We hope people will tune in anyway and that they'll do their thing. So they're not too worried about that. And then next season, sounds like the idea is everything pushes back by a couple months, maybe 2.5 months. And the idea would be start sometime this season rather than starting in mid to late October. It's going to start in mid to late December and push all the way back. And that's kind of a fun experiment for the NBA. They're a pretty good league about taking lemons and making lemonade out of it. And that's been something that they kind of wanted to experiment on for a little bit. So I think they're not exactly upset about if that's the way it goes, see what that looks like. Long term, there's issues that they'd have to work out, you know, there. But I think for a one-year kind of test run, they get a chance to really see what it could look like, really kind of owning the winter and spring months.
Keith, awesome. I know I speak for Pete as well. I can't tell you what a pleasure it was to have somebody on talking sports. This was great. I enjoyed this immensely. Thank you very much for coming on today.
Thanks a lot, my friend.
We'll
do it again soon. Thank you.
I appreciate that. That is Keith Smith from Yahoo Sports talking NBA and what their potential comeback would look like. We can come back and discuss that, a couple things that he talked about as well. Don't forget, next hour, we've got a rocket launch I got to keep an eye on around here, too, outside of sports. More to get to. Oh, and I got to find this story. Some kids let themselves get bit by a Black Widow spider so they can have Spider-Man powers. We'll get into that, too. That was
really misinformed. You know, there's one thing about being nerdy, but there's nothing worse than a misinformed nerd. So we'll set I'll show you the right way to handle it.
Oh, okay. Very good. We'll have all that coming up. Stay with us. Don't forget the greatest games in NFL history presented by Affordable Air and Heat. It continues tomorrow night. The 2006 AFC Championship game between Tom Brady's Patriots and Peyton Manning's Colts. The greatest games in NFL history. I almost said live play-by-play. Very much delayed play-by-play. Brought to you by Affordable Air and Heat. We are affordable online at affordableairconditioningandheating.com. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Check out whatever ridiculous Twitter poll we're running at 99.3 ESPN Radio. Now it's Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN.
Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. I remember the song. Who is this song, Rick? I can't place it.
This would be the band War.
Yes. Oh, War.
Cisco Kid.
Yeah, Cisco. Okay.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Cisco Kid. Had it on my KTEL record. I believe it was Right On, which had a bunch of, you know, top 40 songs back then. Yeah. They also sang the
Low Rider.
Low Rider, yeah. That's
which is the easiest lyrics ever.
Easiest to remember? No, very simple, right?
Well, those no, you know. They also had another song called... wasn't it Summertime?
Was that them?
No. It was about summer.
Yeah, but was that them?
I'm not sure that was War.
Yeah.
You know, interestingly, they teamed up. Now, of course, they were, you know, an American band from the California area, and they teamed up with a young white blues singer named Eric Burton from England, who, of course, was with the band The Animals. And they put out a couple albums as Eric Burton and War that are pretty cool. They had a big hit. Remember the song Spill the Wine?
Oh, yeah. Wow. I heard that
forever. That was Eric Burton and War. So.
Oh, wow. God, I haven't heard that forever.
Interesting stuff.
Your musical knowledge is just incredible.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
Fantastic.
Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. We just got done talking with Keith Smith from Yahoo Sports about the NBA. You know, I am still fascinated. And again, listen, I want to be half glass full guy. I want this to happen, both as a fan and both as a professional talk show host. But I am fascinated by the prospect of what you do if one player tests positive, if two players test positive. What if it's a Western Conference Finals and it's LeBron? You treat it as an injury. Do you, if you get less than six guys on your team, do you have to forfeit a game? Are these the things we are going to have to deal with moving forward with this? And then, you know, it's not like, I mean, let's say half your team does get it. Say something goes wrong and you have to, you can't just forfeit a game. You got to. Forfeit a series because it's a 14-day quarantine. So I'm fascinated by that little poison pill that's in the back of my mind about this whole thing.
And I think you said about any of these leagues that come back, I don't care what it is, absolutely is going to come. It could come into play. And what if it's Lakers. Say it's Lakers, whatever, Celtics, whatever.
Right.
One team comes down with something, and they have to imagine winning the NBA title on a forfeit.
No, I cannot imagine that.
Or what would they do? Would they, for the finals, would they extend it 2 weeks? Would everybody, you know, how would they do that?
I think everything's on the table. I think the other way. I think if it's down, you know, Lakers, Celtics in the NBA finals and LeBron gets...
Milwaukee, whatever, yeah.
I'll bet they hide it. I do. I absolutely...
Really?
Sure. We're talking about championship.
Okay.
If he's asymptomatic. If he's asymptomatic, test positive, they're going to hush that.
All right, but how do they hide it if Antetokounmpo and LeBron both have it? How are they going to hide that?
I don't know, but I don't think.
What if they can't play? What if they're quarantined?
I have no answers. I have questions.
If they're both quarantined, one of them's quarantined, or anybody, top players on those two teams, say it's Milwaukee and the Lakers in the finals, and who's. People will find out. I mean, they can't hide that.
Yeah, but if they don't find out till after Game 7 and the championship's raised, then so what? They got the championship forever. Oh,
no question about it. But being a league of integrity, I would think they would come forward. Well, I mean, some report will find out.
Well, who has access to these tests. I mean, you're talking about HIPAA rules and health rules. I would think that it's only the team could administer these tests. But then does the NBA have to know?
All it takes is one person in the organization, as we say in Canada, with a conscience that, and I'm just throwing Greek Freak out there or LeBron. It doesn't have to be. It could be Chris Middleton for all I care. I don't care.
Right.
And all it takes is somebody there if the organization says, okay, let's keep this hush-hush. Nobody say a word. All it's going to take is one assistant coach or one lackey or one little flunky or some intern there that leaks the story. So all it takes is one, and then all hell will break loose.
But I'm saying if it all breaks loose, you know, later with the investigative reporting or whatever, and the chip is already won and the trophy's already given.
That's different. But if it doesn't, my guess is they would just quarantine the team for play. I mean, what do you do? Delay it again? Delay the NBA championship for 2 more weeks while people are quarantined?
Well, let's say that happens to LeBron. Now, you're the Celtics, and you're going, well, so what? Have LeBron sit. We're trying to win a championship. Yeah. Treat it as an injury. Why? We're not delaying this 2 more weeks.
Craig Sheeman, I like beating teams at their best, so I wouldn't. You know, look, I think if it's one person, they're not going to postpone. I'm saying if it came to a point where a team had to be quarantined.
Right.
In the finals, no matter who it is, what would they do?
Would they delay it
2 weeks or just automatically award it to Team B quarantined?
What if LeBron gets it and then they delay it for 2 weeks and then they're playing the Celtics and Danny Ainge goes, well, wait a minute. We're supposed to treat it like an injury. Too bad for them. And then what if in the meantime, like 10 days later, one of his players gets it and we're sitting here waiting for LeBron to get healthy? That's an unfair advantage for LeBron.
Okay, so then you give the Eastern Conference runner-up team and the Western Conference runner-up team, and they play the championship. And we'll keep doing it that way until we get it right.
That's crazy.
But I do think it's interesting if some team does get it where a team has it in one of these playoff series where they cannot field the team. They're going to have to forfeit. I'm just saying, what happens if that happens in the finals? Will they delay it another 2 weeks while these people are quarantined? And,
I don't know. These are questions that the league has to discuss.
Yeah.
By the way, Locker Room Junk has texted in. Red alert, everybody. It's Locker Room Junk's girlfriend's birthday. Can I get a shout out? I think she's listening. Absolutely. Happy birthday, Locker Room Junk's girlfriend.
I forget her name.
Haven't heard her text in for a while.
I
haven't seen her today. But yes, happy birthday. Yeah. I hope you guys have a grandiose celebration tonight. That's fantastic.
815 says, wouldn't be the same as what happened in Golden State with their big stars getting hurt in the playoffs last year. Sorry about you. No, this is different.
Well, it is, but it isn't. We're told it's got...
What do you mean, wouldn't it be the same as what happened to Golden State with the...
So all their players got injured. All right, Klay Thompson gets injured. Kevin Durant gets injured.
That's different.
Well, it is, but it isn't. I mean, what, are we going to delay the series until, Klay Thompson gets healthy again?
No, I'm not saying they would. My guess is that probably team would have to forfeit, and the team's going to win the championship via forfeit.
You talk about an asterisk in sports. Wait till we hang a banner because the championship was forfeited. Oh, my.
What if it's like a 6 seed somehow makes it? Say Miami. Say Miami is a 5 seed or a 6 seed. Miami or 4, Miami could make it to the Eastern Conference Finals or even the finals. They played well enough. They could pull some. What if that happened and they get the championship because the Lakers can't field the team in the finals?
Oh, that would be unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right, we'll continue this discussion. Go ahead. Yeah.
When we come back, I don't want to get into it now because we have to discuss this. Another big blow to the University of Michigan.
Oh, really? Another one?
Yes, and has nothing to do with that school.
Oh.
But I will tell you why when we come back.
All right.
It's going to affect them.
All right.
This particular school is absolutely going to affect, and maybe they will change their attitude when I read this story to you.
All right.
I think they will.
So Michigan football or just the school in general?
The whole, the whole school, football and
state.
Is there anything else?
We got the Spider-Man kids and
Spider-Man kids. Yeah, absolutely.
We got it all. And then we've got a rocket launch with Elon Musk at 4:33. If you have a clear sky, you may be able to see it from here. But I don't know if that's still on because I know there's some inclement weather. If somebody knows, text it in at 239-337-ESPN. The 4 o'clock hour coming up, Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.